magical place we could go. So close your eyes and make a wish for the skies with the angriest, flappiest birds, and the seas with ridiculous fish. The Dutch Arcade Show is here again. It's Friday night and I'm with my friends, Eli, Jared, and Mike most of the time. Mike, come on, let's go to the Dutch Arcade Show.
Hey guys, what is up? And welcome to Touch Arcade Show, episode number 408. We are recording on a Thursday, July 18th, recording just a one day early so that Eli can go to the rodeo tomorrow.
That's right.
How's the rodeo out there? Is it fun?
I don't know. I've never been. I've never been to this rodeo. It's not my first rodeo, let's just say that much. Around this time of year, like late July, early August, like all these little towns near me have these like giant like county fairgrounds and huge county fairs where they do like all sorts of stuff. And it's like every year I'm always like, oh damn, like I didn't realize that they did all this stuff like that.
Yeah.
And like, cause you see the photos in like the paper or like the local Facebook groups or whatever, like a week later. Right. So, yeah. This year I set a calendar alert for myself for like July 15th that was like, check and make sure what the hell's going on with the fairs. And so we have this whole schedule of all this crazy crap we're doing, including so rodeo is on Friday. There's a truck and trailer pull on Sunday, I think, or demolition derby on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And then there's like another county fair that's the following week that's doing other insane shit.
Wow.
Yeah, a bunch of really trashy stuff, I guess.
Yeah. That's exciting.
What, VIP tickets for $30 instead of $15 to get in?
What a high roller.
I know. Look out. I'm really curious to see what that's going to be like, what the VIP experience at the county fair is, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I'm sure. You'll feel very important indeed.
Need to bust out my overalls.
Yeah,
so I fit in.
That's exciting.
No, but like last time I went to one of these, they I don't know what it's like in California, but here they do like all sorts of like what you would imagine is like rural county fair stuff, you know, where you have like a rabbit show and you know, like a garden contest where you bring in like your prized gourd or whatever the hell.
Yeah.
And it was always like really amusing to like look at like, oh, this is the best zucchini in Kane County. Look at that. You know.
Well, I'm in the capital of California, so we have the state fair like 5 minutes from me, and it does all sorts of stuff like that, which is usually pretty fun. But then I went to the Petaluma, or you know, what county is that? Sonoma County Fair, which is the much smaller, like more agricultural focused fair. And they had a pig race, and that was a blast.
Oh, cool. I'd like to see a pig race. That would be cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Last time we went to one of these, there was a absolutely terrible cover band, like satire level bad.
Yeah,
that was super fun. I don't know. So I'm just glad that I put it in my calendar this year, so we can see all the dumb crap that's happening. So
yeah, that's exciting. That's just this weekend. Or are you going to go to the one next weekend too?
Well, I don't know. Like, so there's. What I'm really excited for is up in Rockford, which is about 45 minutes like north west of me. They're doing a trailer race. You know what a trailer race is?
Not really. Oh, I can imagine.
So the premise of a trailer race is it's like you go around. Typically, they do them in like a figure eight to make it more ridiculous. So it's like figure eight racing, but you are in as long as some form of your trailer is attached.
Wow.
And it's like completely always completely absurd because you have people with like boat trailers and the boat just immediately falls off, and like people with like these giant camper trailers, and everyone's driving these giant like fuck off like beater pickup trucks, so then like the next lap around, like someone will just like drive straight into the boat that got left behind. And
that sounds great.
It's
I'm sign me up for that.
It's my cup of tea. So
well, my plans this weekend is I'm going to the Warp Tour. Remember
cool.
that thing?
Yeah, hell yeah.
They're doing a 25th anniversary. It's kind of weird. They only did two shows. There's one in New Jersey, and then there's one in Mountain View.
Not much of a tour, huh?
No, but Yeah, it's all day Saturday and all day Sunday, and there's just a crap ton of bands.
That's awesome.
Tons that I love, and then a few bands that I've never seen or that previously weren't together anymore and are getting together to play again just for this little reunion tour thing. So yeah. That should be fun. And, you know, the Warped Tour is like, there'll be like skate ramps and junk, and
oh, yeah.
there's like,
that'd be
you know,
neat as hell.
Wrestling and all that fun stuff. So
yeah, no, I would love to go to that.
Yeah.
But the problem is, like, a lot of those bands I'd really like to see now, like, I didn't, like, a lot of the Warped Tour bands I loved in, like, high school and stuff, but just, like, never really had money to, like, go to concerts.
Right.
And, but now it's, like Goldfinger came to town. I was all amped up to go see Goldfinger. And then I looked it up and it was like, oh, it's, like, the bass player of Goldfinger plus, like, five dudes filling in.
But playing the songs you know, so who cares?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. We'll see. So I'm kind of looking forward to that, kind of, because it sounds tiring. 2 days in the hot sun outdoors, and that sounds like I'm probably past my prime for something like that. So this will be a good test.
Yeah, there's some big music festival that everyone goes to in Chicago here. Not Lollapalooza, but something else I don't remember. But like, yeah, we were talking about going to it. But like, it sounds like the experience you want as, you know, like a mid-30s, late-30s person is like the VIP tickets, which gives you like a place to sit and stuff. And and that means like your entry for the weekend goes from like $100-ish to like $300-ish.
Yeah.
Man, $600 for a weekend of being hot and sunburnt, just like, even with VIP treatment or whatever the fuck you get with that, like, doesn't sound that appealing. So whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, hey, who's sponsoring the podcast this week before I forget?
Oh, you reminded me like three different times and I still forgot. This week's episode for the fourth and final week is sponsored by Armor Games and their release Void Tyrant. So we'll have a little ad copy to read to you in just a little bit here. Yeah. And then, gosh, what am I going to do when there's no sponsor? If you want to sponsor the show, ads@toucharcade.com. Send us an email.
Well, do you want to talk about Prime Day? Did you get any good... Any good swag on Prime Day?
So Prime Day, I got a SanDisk memory card for my Switch.
Oh, cool.
That was the best deal that I came across on Prime
Day. The like 256 gig one for like $20
or whatever?
I got the
400. No, I got the 400 for 45.
Nice. So,
but yeah, I wanted the I wanted to get the 512 because you figure like you might as well go. Like, those even-numbered ones kind of weird me out. Like, I have a 200 right now, but I feel like... but the price difference is so disproportionate that it makes no sense. Because it's like, okay, there's 45 for the 400-gig one, and that's on sale. But then the 512 on sale is, like, 100. And you're like, okay, so you're paying more than double for another 112 gigs. That just seems kind of silly. So... I remember at one point that 512 was down to like 80 or something like that. Maybe 70, and I would have probably I should have jumped on it then.
I have some.
So even now, like I haven't quite breached the 200 gigs, but I'm getting close. So I feel like 400, and I've had my Switch for 3 years or whatever, so or 2 years. So I feel like it'll be a while before I approach that limits of the 400 gig. So I feel pretty satisfied with that.
But. I don't know how big my thing is. I guess I can't really see without popping the card out because it only tells me how much I have full. But yeah, I wonder if the case with those isn't like so in like the processor world, the reason like the best Intel processor or whatever is so expensive is because the yields on that are kind of low, but like they can not run those processors at like whatever the top speed is and like they're still fine. So it makes you wonder if that's not the case with like memory cards. They shoot for 512, but like only a certain amount can actually like do 512. So they just tune them back to 400 and they're fine.
Interesting. Yeah, maybe.
Cause that's what they do with processors. So I don't know. I feel a bit kind of bad with Prime Day. Cause like, I didn't realize there was this big like Amazon strike happening. Cause I don't follow the news on purpose.
Yeah. I didn't realize
depressing.
That either. Yeah.
And then like I loaded up Twitter on like Tuesday night and saw all sorts of people like scolding people for buying things at Amazon. I was like, whoops.
Oh really?
I'm just not going to say anything.
Yeah.
But, what did I get? I upgraded my Wi-Fi stuff to one of those Eero setups with the different like beacons and stuff.
Yeah.
Cause like, I don't know. My house is small, but it's long. That's kind
Do
of
you have problem. A mesh Wi-Fi right now?
Well, so now I do. So I just got that. It came yesterday.
So that's your, but it wasn't mesh before.
No. And like,
oh, okay. So how's it working?
So far so good. I mean, it seems like, it seems really good. Like my cameras I have outside, on like my front light and stuff like that, really struggled to get Wi-Fi signal with like where my shit is in my house. And now with like the mesh Wi-Fi stuff, like everything outside is really good. Like I have really good coverage in like my garage and like on my patio and stuff, which before was kind of questionable. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I was all hyped to get a mesh system because we have plaster walls and the Wi-Fi in my living room would not reach the other side of my house. And I looked into all that stuff, but it's all like $300, $400,
Well,
like
this is
whatever.
like 50% off. That's why I bought it. Because
Yeah,
originally set up, I
that's
got
killer.
like $400 and it was down to 200. And I was like, oh, damn. Like, I've been
That's
like
good.
waffling on this for so long.
I think eventually I'll have to upgrade to that. But right now I'm doing okay. I ran a hard wire and I rigged up my old Airport Extreme to be like a amplifier station on the other side of my house. And that's been actually working okay. So, you know, the free route is working for me, but it wouldn't be as cool as like a mesh system, I think.
Yeah,
You can
another.
also super fine tune like the how far it extends the range, right? Like you can make it
Well,
so like neighbors couldn't poach your internet or whatever. Like you can put a hard stopping point on it or whatever.
so I don't know. I haven't really dived into the settings too much because unbelievably easy to set up. Like you download the app, you configure it over Bluetooth. Like it just like detects it with your phone nearby, and then you like tell it like what you want your Wi-Fi to be named, and it's just like done. Which is pretty cool. Only other thing I got that was actually that interesting was the new Echo Show 5, because those were also half off. They were like $50 or something. I've gotten pretty into the Alexa ecosystem, and I wanted to try one with a screen. And I don't know, it seems pretty cool so far. It's kind of changes how you interact with Alexa, because you can say it like to like show me things like. Alexa, show me the highlights from yesterday's Sox game or something like that, and it'll actually like pull it up
Really?
and stuff, which is pretty
Yeah,
cool.
that's
But
interesting.
I don't know how useful that is in a little kind of like 5-inch screen alarm clock size thing. And I don't think I would use it enough to buy like the expensive one with the bigger screen or whatever. So I don't know. It's I have a ton of Alexa devices now, so whatever.
I feel like for that price though, it's worth checking out.
Yeah, I just wanted to try it, and I was like, I don't know, this $50. Like, I'll give this a go and kind of see what's going on with that. Other thing that is up for pre-order now on Amazon is that TurboGrafx 16 Mini. Did you pre-order one of those?
No, I'm holding off on all the mini console stuff.
What the?
I don't want to go down that road.
But I guess if you're dipping down the emulation path, there's not much point. But like I don't know. I love the TurboGrafx-16 as a kid, so I'm like,
It's a really good game lineup.
yeah, I'm super geeked out for that. $100 seems kind of expensive, but
I feel like the PlayStation 1 has like prompted everyone to be like, okay, we can't blow this
yeah.
because the backlash of the PlayStation 1 was terrible. So the Genesis 1 is kick-ass game lineup, and same with this one.
Oh yeah, so the PlayStation 1 was down to like $18 on Prime
Oh,
Day.
really?
So
That's super worth buying just to mod
I got one of
it.
those too, but it's like super back ordered, so I don't even have like a shipping estimate of when that's gonna come. So I don't know.
It's
Everyone says it's terrible, but
ridiculously easy to add games to it.
really. But isn't it like super underpowered? So
No, not necessarily. I mean, it can do up to, I haven't done it personally, but I believe it can run some like Dreamcast stuff. And but I mean, if you just wanted to add extra PlayStation games to it, because the lineup and that is
Oh,
awful.
is that the
So if you just
problem?
wanted to have it still be a mini PlayStation just to play old PlayStation games, you can load it up with like your ideal lineup and it plays everything
Really? See,
flawlessly.
I thought it was like too slow to do the emulation. That was the problem with it, not with the game lineup was the problem.
No, the game lineup was part of the problem was that they picked some dumb games that people didn't agree with. But then the other problem was that a lot of the versions they used were the PAL versions that ran at 50 hertz or whatever. So there was
Oh,
like
so this was like
stuttery
shit. Yeah, okay.
frame rates and stuff. And so, yeah, you can fix all that stuff really easily. Plus, if you wanted to, you could add a bunch of other systems, PlayStation and on everything.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I really like the play. Like PlayStation was like a huge turning point for me in like video gaming, just in a general sense. So I just wanted to get it anyway, but like, I don't know.
It's adorable. Like that's my main thing with these mini systems. It's like I'd probably collect them if they were cheaper and didn't you couldn't play with them. They were just little statues. I would be all about them, but
It's
I
interesting
guess you could
that
just buy them. use them for that purpose.
It's interesting they included Destruction Derby instead of Destruction Derby 2, because Destruction Derby 2 is like an exponentially better game in like absolutely every single way.
No, I know. There's a lot of choices on there that are kind of baffling like that. And then there's a few games where if you think back to the PlayStation and like the games that define that system that aren't included. So,
Battle Arena Toshinden.
Yeah, worth it for $20 for sure. I got one for Christmas in a gift exchange, so I wasn't mad at that. But
oh yeah, Wild Arms, man. I remember that game was really good.
So. Yeah.
All right. Well, should we talk about mobile games, or do you want to talk about the new Switch real quick?
Okay, let's do some Switch talk. We'll throw it in there.
So, I guess to sum up what happened this week, it was kind of weird. Like, so they released the Switch Lite, and I guess there was an investor call, or like a reporter asked them or something like that, if there was more new Switch hardware coming.
Yeah.
And Nintendo said there's no new hardware, mm-hmm. meaning like, and I think the question was framed around the idea of like, oh, so we're going to see the Switch Pro now. So everyone was like, oh, okay, well, I guess, you know, that's not coming, so whatever. And then they announced that this, I kind of think we touched on this before, but people didn't realize like the, what actually was going to happen. So like they are, I think this September, releasing a new version of the Switch, that same price, same everything, same performance, but because the processor is faster, they're able to like tune it back farther to get, I want to say it was like 4.5 to 9 hours of gameplay,
yeah,
which is up from like
double.
Yeah, because like the Switch stock, it's like 2.5 to like 5 or 6 or something like that.
Yeah, depending on what you're playing, yeah.
Which of course has people super pissed that, you know, oh, I just bought a Switch yesterday, I can't believe you do this to me, all that stuff. Where it's like, eh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll probably sell, trade, or whatever my old one and get the new one, just because I figure it'll like cost me like probably like $100 to do that, or maybe like 150 bucks or whatever. And I play my Switch on the go enough that like the extra battery would be nice.
Yeah.
So.
No, it's nice. I for me, I'm not going to go out of my way to get one and get rid of my old one or anything like that. Like, I think they're going to need to have a bigger revision for me to want to do something like that. And I play on my couch 99% of the time, and I have a USB cord that reaches so I can plug in if I really needed to. By and large, it's not a problem.
So. I don't really need one. It's just a matter of I was like, if I see any good like Amazon trade-in deals or something like that, like I'm all over that. Like, I'll pay another $100 or whatever to get the better battery. That's fine.
Yeah, but watch in March is when the Switch Pro will come out, and then you'll be like, wow.
I mean, honestly, like, it's one of those things. Like, I look at it as like a cost per use kind of thing, right? Like, I play my Switch so much.
Yeah.
That like, if I did some like, you know, trade my Switch plus $100 and got the new one now, and then like the Switch Pro came out and I have to spend another couple $100 like with the amount I play my Switch, like that's fine, whatever. I don't know.
I agree. So yeah, I guess we can talk about mobile game stuff.
Sure.
If you want to do that,
let's do it.
That's what this podcast is about, apparently. So this week, or actually over the weekend, kind of a surprise release from Michael Brogue. He is the guy who is most famous for like 868 Hack, but he's released a bunch of little games that are often roguelike strategy games and are often just like pretty beyond brilliant.
Yeah.
He's one of the best game designers out there, really. Some of his games aren't much to look at, but like mechanically, they're just pretty unmatched.
It always makes me wonder like if someone like this wouldn't be better off like really pairing up with like just someone that knows how to make games look like really, really good.
Maybe. I think at this point, I feel like it's his calling card is his quirky art and stuff and his kind of weird, you know, design aesthetics. So.
I guess, but it's just like, I don't know. I mean, not to say that I really like his stuff and everything. I don't mean to say anything like this to bash him or whatever, but it's irrefutable that there are definitely are people that will look at a screenshot of his games and be like, oh, that looks like junk.
Yeah.
You know, whereas like those same people, if it was like, you know, in a game that didn't have like weird little icons and like tokens as, you know, puzzle pieces or whatever, but instead was like, you know, shiny 3D stuff, would probably be like, oh, damn, this is the best game ever.
Yeah. Like if it looked like XCOM or something like that.
Yeah. But I mean, does the increased cost and complexity Like, does that turn up in sales or I don't
It
know.
would be interesting, but I think he could care less, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then his last game was Cinco Paz, however you pronounce it. It was a game entirely in Portuguese, and that turned a ton of people off, even though it didn't really matter. You could make out enough stuff to, like, you didn't really need to read, like, stuff in the game or whatever, but, like, the app description was all in Portuguese and some of the menu stuff and whatever. But you could still figure out how to play and what was going on, and it was, like, a really good game. But just the fact that it was in Portuguese turned a lot of people off and actually made people angry. And so,
I see. I always
but
kind of looked at that as like if you, I don't know. It was like almost like a magic, like you were casting magic spells or something like that, like words you didn't know, like any
yeah, now
kind
you
of
can't
like
read any
magic
of your
spell.
scrolls or what. Yeah.
It would be like if like the Harry Potter spells were in German or something like that instead of English. It like doesn't matter. It's like serves its
No,
purpose.
that's at the end of the day, it didn't matter. So, but it still rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. And so when people were like, "Why the hell did you do this?" He was just like, "Well, I'm learning Portuguese right now, and while I was developing the game, I thought it'd be fun to make it in Portuguese. No other
Well,
reason, really."
Cinco Paz does not have a single iTunes review that's not 5 stars, so I think he that
I
turned out
think
okay.
people eventually got over it. Yeah. So, his new game, P1 Select, is another kind of top-down dungeon crawler, roguelike type thing. I haven't tried this one out myself yet, and as is the case, I mean, I enjoyed me some 868 Hack, but even that game, I feel like, was kind of beyond me in a lot of ways. But if you're a fan of his previous games, and you're probably already playing this, and if not, you need to go download it now because it seems like it's another winner built around another set of really unique mechanics, and kind of just creates this endlessly replayable kind of strategy game. This one, I believe the gimmick is that every time you make a move, you turn into a different character. So, one move you're a warrior, one move you're a wizard, now you're a rogue, like whatever. Some I believe that is the premise. But like I said, I haven't played it myself. But the people in the forums loving it, saying it's another winner. I feel like this
Yeah,
guy is kind of batting a
another
thousand with all his games.
1400% 5-star iTunes reviews in the US App Store, so.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. So yeah, if you like yourself some Michael Brogue, then he's got a new one out. You should definitely go check it out. I think
Yeah.
it's
I think
$2.99
all of his
something.
stuff is really cool. 868 Hack, I think is my favorite game of his, but I
It
think
would be, yeah.
that also might be because that was like the game that I really learned how to play, and so
Right.
I like really understood it, whereas like a lot of the other ones are like, oh my God, this is like beyond me, I'm too stupid for this kind
Right.
of thing,
Yeah.
which
I
I
feel
don't
the
know.
same.
Say what you will about how dumb I am, that's fine.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is
P1 Select.
on the App Store now, $3.
$3.
Give it a look.
Play it forever. So this week, Galaga Wars got updated with a new ship, which it had been a while since this game got an update, with any new content or whatever. In case you're unfamiliar, Galaga Wars is kind of like a modern revival of Galaga that released a few years back. It kind of, I think we described it at the time as something like Galaga meets Crossy Road, because the levels are, the enemy formations and stuff like that are all randomly generated. And then you play, it's all about like unlocking new ships and stuff like that. So it's definitely like a mobilized, free-to-played out version of Galaga Wars. But actually, that's making it sound bad if you don't like those types of things. It's actually a really fun and good modern take on a classic, I think. It has really cool, 3D models for the enemies and the ships and stuff, but everything's still really recognizable. And then one of the big changes is that you don't just move across the bottom of the screen. You can actually move anywhere you want, like a normal shoot 'em up. And it has like relative touch and stuff like that. So it's like a really fun game to play with one thumb, and just kind of like mindlessly shoot your way through or whatever. And then the other fun thing is that it has ships from different Namco games over the years. So like the Galaxian ship, and I forget, Sky Kid, I think, is in there. And then there was like a Pac-Man ship release where you're actually playing as Pac-Man, shooting at ghosts coming at you and stuff like that. So yeah, just a really fun game, like easy to play for free. Nothing that's really preventing you from doing anything. It's like, pain just kind of speeds up the unlock process and the upgrade process or whatever. It's kind of a typical friendly free to play.
I really like this one. Because
It's
I don't
really
know, like
fun.
the don't get me wrong, I appreciate the like vintage arcade games for what they are, right? But like I've never been the kind of person that was always that ever would be like, oh my God, I love Galaga. I could play Galaga for hours kind of thing. You know, it's like, oh yes, Galaga, you know, it's a
Well, I
good
am
game.
that person, but but that's one of the very few that I think is held up especially well compared to a lot of others. So,
Yeah. But I mean, like, I guess it just it seems like there's so little to do in it, which again, I completely understand. Like, it's a relic of, you know, the earliest days of video gaming. So I don't mean to sound like I'm bashing it, but like the addition of like things to work towards and stuff like that just kind of like to me makes this game more fun.
Yeah, every ship in the game has its own upgrade path and stuff like that, so you can give it better, weaponry and speed and whatever.
Because like I don't know, I've never been like a high score chasing kind of guy, you know, so it's
No,
like
that's a really good point. Like, this is a game where you play, and even on your worst run, you're still making progress towards something, which is fun because something like Galaga, it's like you can play, and then you get to a certain point and you die. I mean, there's kind of like a ceiling to your skill set with that game for the most part. So
I mean
it can
the
be,
same
there's not a lot of motivation to always go back and play.
Yeah, and I don't know, like you can buy your way out of a lot of the free to play stuff in this game, like in doing so, like I think that would like remove what I enjoy about it, as weird as that is to kind of
No,
say.
it's true. Yeah.
Because like once you have everything, it's like, okay, well now I don't really have a reason to play this game anymore.
No, I
And
agree.
you know, like if you just went to into Cross Road and like bought every single character, you'd be like, okay,
Yeah,
well
it wouldn't be as fun as
now what,
unlocking it.
that kind of thing. So
No, that's the same case with this. And so this new ship is from Galaga 88, which was kind of like a revamped version of Galaga that released in, oh, 1988. And yeah, so it features the ship from that game. And unlike the other ships in the game, you can either buy them as in-app purchases. I think it's $2.99 a ship or something like that. Or you can buy them using like this in-game premium currency that you can collect through play, which is not super common, but I mean, technically you can unlock all the ships for free if you really wanted to. This one is not that way. You have to buy it, and it's actually a dollar more. It's $3.99. So I thought that was kind of interesting. This is an IAP only DLC. So if you really, really want this ship, you got to pony up $4, but it's not totally necessary. And I wouldn't be surprised if down the road they updated it to be able to unlock it with the in-game currency or something like that. Maybe it's just exclusively this way for people that just gotta have it all.
looks like people on iTunes reviews are complaining that with this update they added the cadence of how many ads you see is greatly increased, which
Oh, see, I wouldn't know that because if you make any purchase, it'll disable the ads or whatever. And I've bought a couple of the ships or whatever. So perhaps that is the case. But I would say if you really, really like this game, it's worth buying like something in it to disable the ads, and just call it a $3 game or whatever. I think there might even be an ad removal specific thing that's cheaper. But the different ships are fun to play and upgrade, like you said.
This is
So
my
yeah, just all
favorite
around fun
game
mechanics.
ever, and freemium ruined it.
Oh
Like,
no.
spend a
How
dollar,
dare you,
man.
freemium? But yeah, if you haven't played Galaga Wars, it's free. Download it, check it out. If you don't like the ads, buy something. If you don't like the game, delete it. Done. It's not a big deal.
That's the way she goes.
I think you skipped something
Oh
because
shit,
I was going to
yeah.
talk about a Reigns
The
board game.
Reigns board game. Yeah, let me pull that up. How do I get my tabs back? I don't know. I'll figure it out. Just talk about it.
Okay, so Reigns the Council is a Reigns board game that is going to be kickstarted soon,
There we go.
which I think is kind of interesting. We're fans of Reigns,
Yeah.
and it is like a digital card-based game in a lot of ways. So I feel like making it a physical thing kind of makes sense, but also there's a lot of things I feel like how are you going to do that physically? You know what I mean? So I
So
think
is
it's
this
like an
a
interesting idea.
single player card game, or
I don't think so. I think it's supposed to be for more than
oh,
one
so the
person.
Kickstarter is not even live yet. It's coming later. The Kickstarter,
No.
they just announced they're doing a Kickstarter for this.
Announced and released like a quick look at kind of like a prototype or a mock-up of what the game might be like, which is, spoiler, like mostly just decks of cards. And but there is like a board there with your four, you know, resources that you need to, you know, balance and keep positive and whatever. So I'm really curious to see how this works out. Nereol, who is the inventor of Reigns, is working with the board game designers Bruno Faidutti, who made Citadels, Diamants, and more, and Herve Marley, who made The Werewolves of Miller's Hollow. So if you're a board game geek, you might know those names, and that might mean something to you. To me, they're just names I can't pronounce. But that's kind of cool. He's like getting together with like some pretty famous board game designer people to make a Reigns board game.
Yeah, so. It seems like board games on Kickstarter are like really having a renaissance of like people being super, like I've seen some really big, surprisingly big Kickstarters for board games that like, I don't know, I wish I was more into board games than I am. Like stuff that I look at, I'm like, oh, that's neat. I don't know.
Right.
You know, that then have like six figure plus Kickstarters.
Right. Yeah. It's cool though. I like that there's a renaissance of board games and there's people getting together playing a physical game in the physical space together and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's a really cool thing, but I'm most curious to see how's this going to be. Is it really going to be a single player thing? I could see it being a cool multiplayer thing where, you know, somebody is in charge of pulling the cards that you see next, you know what I mean? Or something like that where, you know, that could be fun. So I don't know. Curious to see how this shakes out, but if you like Reigns and you like board games, keep your eye on Reigns the Council because it'll be coming to Kickstarter soon. And yeah, definitely curious to see what it'll end up being all about.
Yeah.
So this is just a quick thing to say that the remastered mobile Flashback, which I think we talked about last week. Oh yeah, we definitely did.
Yeah, we talked about it quite well.
They announced a release date of July 22nd, but spoiler alert, it came out this week instead. So it's actually available right now for $4.99 on at least iOS. I haven't checked the Android store to see if it's there too. But yeah, I've downloaded it, but I haven't played it yet. But so far, people seem to be liking it. It's the Flashback you know and love from 25 years ago, but with pretty decent touch controls and a really cool rewind function and stuff like that. So
yeah,
this thing, I have no idea why it came out so early, but it is available right now. You don't have to wait till next week.
Yeah,
so
that's
Flashback person.
That's cool. I really like the rewind feature on this and that, like, I don't know.
In most old games, to be honest.
Well, yeah, it's for real. I mean, because, like, most of these games are so punishing now that, like, I don't know. It's weird how you get so used to, like, I don't know, like, the Call of... I guess Call of Duty was really the first game that I can think of playing where it was like, oh, you died? Okay, here's you 10 seconds back again.
Nothing matters. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, like, ever since Call of Duty then got so unbelievably stinking popular... It's like, seems like everyone else that does like a first person thing, or I guess like any modern game does that now. So like going back and playing these old games feels extra punishing when it's like, wait, I died and have to start over. Like, why would I do that? So,
yeah, I agree. So rewind function, especially in a game like this, where it's like, you're just going about your business and all of a sudden something kills you from out of nowhere.
A snake falling from the tree.
Yeah. So
something else stupid.
Yeah, pretty cool that they added that in. But if you were curious about that game, it's out now. You don't have to wait for it.
Yeah, I don't know. Flashback. How many more times do I need to play Flashback in my life? That's my question.
Maybe one more. It's only $5. So. So Smash Dungeon was a game that I posted about back in April, maybe February, something like that, earlier this year.
Back in February.
February.
February
and so
11th.
It was a really cool, you know, solo developer making a game that was more or less Gauntlet meets Smash TV. So it's kind of like a fantasy hack and slash, but kind of room-based, more like Smash TV style, and with loot to get and stuff like that. And it looked really cool in just the very early videos that he had posted or whatever. And then things got a little quiet on it, and it turns out that... he had some kind of personal stuff to deal with to kind of set back the game, but he's back in action working on it more regularly. And so he's been posting updates in the forums and stuff. And so he just released this new gameplay video, which is like 2 or 3 minutes, something like that. Shows like pretty much what a typical playthrough would be like, and it looks really fun. It's three different character classes, and lots of really cool like special powers that you can use. Lots of different enemy types and things like that. And then he's been adding a lot of like Binding of Isaac inspired type stuff. So there will be different type, you know, room types and stuff like that. So yeah, and the way you can get what different weaponry and how they work and whatever. So it's got some Binding of Isaac flavor now too. But anyway, it looks really cool. It's kind of getting somewhat close to a beta test point. And once that happens, he'll be posting the forums looking for beta testers and stuff like that. So
was Smash TV really the first game that did this kind of like single screen arena thing?
I would bet not. But I also couldn't tell you anything that's earlier. I mean, I see games that are like this, and I think Smash TV.
So. Yeah, so I mean, I played this show, Smash TV, when I was a kid, and it's just kind of interesting thinking, like, that game has, like, since kind of become, like, the foundation comparison to, like, all of these types of, like, I don't know, like, arena sort of games, I guess?
Right.
But I do really like how this kind of has, like a Zelda sort of, like, door system.
Yeah.
Like, do you know if you are, has this been revealed that, like, if you're going through, like, some kind of, like, dungeon thing? Because I see in this that, like, there's a map in, mm-hmm. like, the top right corner, a little demo video mm-hmm. that shows, like, the different rooms and stuff. But, like, does that have anything to do with, like, the actual gameplay? Or is that just, I don't know.
What do you mean?
Well, like are you trying to find, like, an exit? Or are you just trying to survive kind of thing?
I'm not sure. I know that I believe you find an exit or whatever. There's a way to beat a dungeon because I'm pretty sure it's like randomly generated dungeons each time. So, but it is just like a fight. Everyone get through as many rooms as you can until you die type thing. I'm not totally sure.
Yeah. This looks neat though. I'm stoked for this. Like this style of hack and slash sort of thing I always had a really good time with. So.
It's always impressive seeing like what one person can do too. So
oh yeah,
it's like
sure.
a hobby project for one guy. So that's really pretty cool.
For sure.
So Smash Dungeon still in the works. There's a thread in our forums. You can kind of keep up to date with, and then sooner or later it'll be beta testing time. So if you like doing beta testing, keep an eye out for that.
Yeah. So let's get we're at the time for the actual ad.
Time to pay the bills. So. As I mentioned near the beginning of the show, this week's episode is sponsored by Armor Games and their new release, Void Tyrant, so here's the ad for that. Void Tyrant is a roguelike deck-building adventure with the hit-or-stand mechanics of blackjack. It's easy to pick up and learn, but challenging to master. Battle your way across the galaxy armed with only a deck of unique cards, a bit of strategy, and the powerful loot you find along the way. In this single-player adventure, you'll uncover hundreds of cards, fight or befriend aliens, and grow increasingly more powerful as you explore planetary dungeons in an attempt to find the six eyes of Kronos. Download it for free on the App Store today.
Hell yeah.
Woohoo, Void Tyrant! Yeah. Special shout out. Thanks, Armor Games. They've sponsored the last 8 weeks of episodes.
Yeah, cool game. Armor Games makes great stuff.
Yeah. Infectinator 3 Apocalypse and Void Tyrant were their two games that we have been pimping. So, thankfully for us, they're good games too. It's very easy to recommend them and read ads about them because you don't feel like you're trying to force people to play something you don't personally like.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
Which I'm sure someday we're going to have a sponsor that's like, oh, here's this game that's, oh God, it's the exact type game I hate. Now I got to tell you it's great. But such is life.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Anywho. So moving along with our news stories for the day, this one was kind of a big one, and it actually happened, it actually was announced last week, and I didn't get around to noticing it until Monday morning, but Terraria is going to have online multiplayer, Terraria on mobile, where you'll be able to play online with friends on both iOS and Android. It'll be cross-platform.
I wonder if you can play with Switch people, because...
You cannot,
so okay. It's because they added the online multiplayer stuff to the Switch kind of, sort of, recently.
Well, so it's interesting because, there's the full-fat PC version developed by Relogic, the original, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Xbox, PS4 versions, and then there's the new Switch version just came out, like, a few weeks ago. And then now there's this mobile version that actually came out in like 2013, but hasn't been updated in more than 3 years. So there's been different hands in the pots based on, you know, who was developing which version and whatever. But, you know, the point is that they're all on different versions. And so the desktop version is kind of the flagship. It gets everything first. It's got a huge update in the works right now for it that's coming out, I think, this year too, which is kind of like the final massive update for Terraria. The mobile version never got past 1.2. And so as we posted a couple of months ago, Terraria on mobile sat stagnant for 3 years, but Relogic actually reached out, or 505 Games, who publishes the game, has an internal studio called DR Studios. They have been christened as the "you focus solely on mobile" people. So now the mobile version actually has one active developer focusing on it exclusively, and then a different company handles the Switch version, and then different company handles console, PC, whatever. Well,
so it's on Switch. I'm looking at the eShop listing right now. It's published under 505 as well.
Yeah. But that's not who's developing it.
Yeah.
It's a different studio that's actually developing it. So the problem when it comes to true cross-platform
is that
the version 1.3 update, which is in the works for mobile right now, and as we learned with this news story, it's going to contain online multiplayer, but it's also going to contain all the stuff that came to version 1.3 in 2015 to the desktop version. So while it's going to be a big, huge, massive new refresh for the mobile version, it's actually based on an update that released several years ago for desktop. So it's going to be quite a ways behind the desktop version. So if you're going to allow multiplayer between everybody would be on different versions. It would create problems, whatever. I think the ultimate goal, it's similar to what happened with Minecraft. Remember, there was like the Java version, mm-hmm. and there was the mobile version, blah, blah, blah. Now they've kind of corrected that, and there's kind of like one base code base for all versions or whatever. I think that's their end goal with Terraria, but it's going to be like a good long while before they actually get to that point. I think they're going to be happy enough to release 1.3 on mobile. Mobile people will be happy because their game will be not totally outdated anymore, and it will come with a ton of new content. And everything will have active developers working on it, which I think is key too. So going forward, maybe in a year or two, everything can kind of converge and there will just be one version of Terraria across all platforms. And maybe then they can allow cross-platform between everybody. But for right now, it's just going to be iOS and Android playing with each other. And it's kind of interesting because they have it. It's very kind of old school the way you do it. You need to like get in touch with somebody and have them give you, you know, whoever's going to host a game has to give you their IP address.
Oh, really?
Set up port forwarding and stuff like that. It's very much like a manual process. And it's not going to be something where you just click a button and it randomly enters you into an online game or anything like that. This is something that's designed for like friends that play the game now to reach out to each other and be like, let's play. Which I feel like that's a little bit of a barrier for a lot of people. If you need to like set up, you know, change settings on your router or something like that, it's not necessarily hard, but it's not like everybody knows how to do that.
Yeah, that seems weird.
So I feel like a lot of people would just be like, I just want to play with my friends. I just want to hit a button. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a little more complicated than that, but I think once you get it down, it'll be fine. And you know, it's cool that you're going to have the ability to do stuff like that because. It was somewhat complicated in the early goings of Minecraft on mobile for people to play with each other, but stop kids. You know, kids will figure stuff out. So it's definitely this audience, I feel like, skews a lot younger. And, you know, those kids aren't going to have a problem figuring things out to play with their buddies in school and stuff. So
the annoying part to me about Terraria is that this is a game I would really love to play on the Switch.
Yeah.
But so it's $5 on mobile, it's $10 on Steam. And has been as cheap as $2 on Steam.
Yeah.
And it's $30 on the Switch.
Yep. It's one of the worst Switch tax games out there.
Which is bonkers. Because, like, it's crazy, too. Because, like, when you look up the Steam listing, it's like you can get a 4-pack of the game. It's like, oh, buy the 4-pack. Give 3 codes to your friends to play multiplayer for the same price.
No.
As just, it's like, kind of getting the Switch version. Because,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, I played this on mobile. I tried to a bunch when it came out. And it was just, like, too much going on for a touchscreen, so
it was tricky touch controls. Yeah,
it just wasn't fun for me because I was like fat fingering too much stuff, because a lot of the UI is like really small.
Right.
Or I might have it might have been improved over the years. I don't know, but
Building
like,
could be really annoying.
yeah.
In a lot of ways, their touch control system was like super duper clever. The things like, you would try to build stuff and it would zoom in with like a magnified window, so you could like get real granular with your building blocks and stuff like that. And I thought that was always really clever, but at the same time, it was really fiddly. So they actually, for this big update that's coming out, revamped the controls pretty heavily with lots and lots of options. So I'm curious to see how it'll play now, because I haven't played the mobile version in quite a few years. So,
I mean, like on the mobile version, the story you, or the image you posted with the story, there's 29 buttons and two virtual joysticks on screen.
Yeah.
That
Well, right. It's a game that takes a lot of buttons.
absolutely insane.
One of the funny things about that, though, is that it's like a lot of them is like optional stuff. So like you, if you want to control your movement with the left stick and push buttons with the right, you can. But if you want to do it the other way, or if you're doing something where it'd be really handy to be able to hit a button with your left hand, because you're holding down a button with your right hand or whatever. I think that's why they did that. But yeah, it's extremely fiddly. And it's not, I don't think it's going to immediately have controller support, but that's something they're looking into. So,
Yeah,
but
that.
I agree. I would totally have bought this on Switch if it was $10, maybe even like 15 or 20. But 30 just seems like, dude, really? Like this game is pretty old by now.
Well,
And
that's been a problem with like the eShop
yeah.
in general. Like another good example is I just had to hang on, let me pull it up again and see which Kairosoft game it was. But like shit that I've played on mobile on Kairosoft stuff that was like $1 or two. Are like $12 plus on the eShop. Like, so World Cruise Story launched, I don't know, in the last couple of days, and it's very much a mobile game
Yeah, that's a bummer.
with the mobile UI and everything else. 12 buckaroos.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I really would love to know how many people are just like buying these up and not realizing.
Yeah, actually, they're all $12. Like, even like Grand Prix Story.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Game Dev Story is $12.
I forget, I think the Resident Evil remakes that just launched or whatever, those are like $20 or $30 or something like that. Like I feel like those were pretty reasonably priced for what they were. When they could have just been like $60 or something like that. So
Oh, I need to.
occasionally I feel like it's not the case that there's a Switch tax, but for most stuff there is. So
That reminds me, I need to. I would love to play Resident Evil 4. Have you read if the port is good or not?
I haven't looked into it too closely, but I haven't heard anything bad either. So I think it's fine.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
That's cool. So anyway, Terraria, we will definitely post about when that update is coming or whatever. It's in the works right now. So also this week, launching slightly ahead of schedule, not as early as Flashback, but Sky Children of the Light from that game company, which astoundingly was demoed at the iPhone event in September of 2017.
Yeah, that's insane.
I can't believe it's been that long. It's been almost 2 years. But anyway, they demoed that game at the iPhone event. It looked amazing. This is the new game from that game company who made like Flower and Journey and stuff. And so it's like a big deal that their new game was going to be this mobile and Apple TV game. But anyway, then it spent all of 2018 in soft launch and most of this year in soft launch. So that finally is available. It's out, iOS exclusive for now, but it will be coming to Android. And if I was a betting man, I would say it's going to come to other platforms too. But anyway, this is kind of like Journey, but with friends, I would explain it, because it's very heavily built on playing with other people online, but not in like a massive group, in like a pretty smaller group, and also not necessarily with people you know. It's designed to be played with like strangers, with minimal sort of communication, but still being able to work through puzzles and stuff like that together.
I was
So it's kind of a
reading.
really interesting concept. Like that's the core of the game. But also it's just like seems like a really beautiful game to just run around and explore in and stuff like that. So this is another one. I haven't fired it up myself yet, but I downloaded the beta at one point and needed a VPN to play and blah blah blah. And so I didn't play more than like a few minutes of the very beginning. And from what I've heard, it's changed a lot in the year it's been in soft launch. They've updated and added to it a ton. So I'm really, really interested to see what this final version is like. But it is free, And you can download it and play it right now for yourself on iOS and someday on Android.
I read they spent $40 million building this game.
That's okay. I don't know.
Do you think that there's a chance they'll make that back?
God, that's a really good question. If this catches fire like I think they hope it does, maybe.
I think
Because,
that.
you know, as in-app purchase stuff, or I'm not sure what exactly, but, you know, if there's people that are just constantly spending money on it, hell, maybe. There's games that make that much in a day, so.
Yeah, I like so. Again, I'm speaking out based on my experience with the beta, so I don't know how much different the actual like launch version actually turned out to be. But like, I think that this is gonna have like almost like the Super Mario Run effect to it, and that like a lot of people are gonna download it, check it out,
I could see that.
and you can like totally get your fill of like checking it out and seeing what it's all about before like you ever need to spend a penny in the game. And
I could see that.
it's a little too out there to be, because I think like a successful free-to-play game on mobile, it's going to make 40 million plus to make back its, you know, in like initial investment. I imagine they'd probably like to see more than that.
Right.
But I mean, it needs to be mass market enough that like your average idiot can just like pick it up
Yeah.
and understand how to play it, and but more importantly, understand like what they're getting if they spend money in that game, you know. And like it's real
That's
easy
not
to,
apparent to me yet. Yeah.
I mean, like if you compare like the spending compulsion like Sky to like, I mean, this is an extreme example, but like to like Candy Crush, you know, it's like it's very easy to explain and understand like, oh, I'm stuck in this level. If I get a power up, I can, for a
It can
buck
be,
or whatever, I
right?
can beat it and keep playing, kind of thing. Whereas like this is kind of like, I don't know, like I fiddled around with it, flew around with some people, that was kind of cool, but like I'm sort of done with it, kind of thing. Which
We'll
I don't know.
see. I think, at least to their credit, is I find it really interesting that this is all controlled with like one touch or one
Yeah.
finger. I think the control scheme is really smart because then, you know, a lot of barrier to entry to video games for a lot of people is they look at a normal console controller and are like, too many buttons, don't know what I'm doing, not coordinated enough, whatever. So this is like a console-ish looking game with kind of this big open world to explore where you can just use one thumb and play with one hand. So that's kind of interesting too. But yeah, I kind of agree with you that I can't see what the hook is that's going to get people to just be dying to spend money on this game.
Yeah. No, it's and it seems to me that the hook is like, oh, Jenova Chen released a new game. I got to check that out. But like it's
Who really
like,
knows who that is outside of video games?
yeah, I guess that's fair too, but like but that just like reeks of the Super Mario Run situation to me, where I was like, oh, there's Super Mario on iPhone. Oh, cool, I'll download it. All right, I played three levels, I'm over it, kind of thing, you know.
No, I agree. Be
Which,
curious to see.
and I think you can make like a really strong argument that Super Mario Run probably would have done way better if it would have just cost 5 or 10 bucks, because like all the people that were curious about it, like that would
Oh,
have filtered
100%.
out a bunch of them. But like, I think that overall you would have converted way more people to paying you if the cost is up front versus like after you play the game for 15, 20 minutes or whatever.
Yeah,
And
no,
it
I
wouldn't
believe that
surprise
100%.
me if this was the same way. Like enough people like know like Journey and stuff like that to where it's like, oh, there's a new Journey. Oh, cool. It's $5 on the App Store with no in-app purchases or any other shenanigans. All right, I'm in.
But
Versus, you know.
I think the difference, I'm not sure if this game has like an end, you know what I mean? So like I feel like if you bought a game, you'd be like, well, I want to beat this game or whatever. So that's something else I'm really curious about. It is, does it have an end? Is there an end game, or is it just meant to be an experience or like a place that you visit every day or whatever, you know, if you
Yeah.
want it or something. So yeah, I don't know. I definitely need to fiddle around with it. But whatever the case, kind of been a long journey for see what I did there? A long journey for Sky Children of the Light. But it is now available on iOS and free to download and try yourself, which I will be doing later today. So,
Yeah, it seems like another example of like a console focused kind of like company slash developer like doing the whole like, oh, we're gonna make a mobile game thing, and you know we know how to make really good games, so like surely our mobile game will go really well. Not really realizing that like there have been a bunch of people that have done that before
yeah,
and completely failed, and
maybe.
there's kind of a reason why what is successful on mobile is successful on mobile. So I don't know. I would love to see this be cool and turn out really well for them, but I'm a fence sitter waiting to see what happens.
We will see. Yeah.
So I don't know.
Anyway, this was a surprise to me today, but Plants vs. Zombies 3 is a thing, and it is in pre-alpha on the Google Play Store right now. Apparently, it's all full up, though. So if you try to download it and play it, they're like, hey, we're good. We got enough players, whatever. But it gives you a look at what they're kind of shooting for with the new Plants vs. Zombies, and it seems like it's going to be portrait mode game, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I don't know. We'll see with this. It's extremely disappointing that the new Plants vs. Zombies is also going to be free to play it out like crazy, you know. But
two was too, to a certain extent. So.
I mean, they've also free to play out the first one too. Did you know that?
Right.
And the crazy thing is, like, if you had bought that game, like the Plants vs. Zombies 1 way back when, and like your premium game is gone. Like your premium game is now a free to play game.
I don't think so. I think if you owned it before, it's good to go still. But I have to double check that.
I've heard multiple people complaining about it. So like if it's still in there, like it's not apparent is how you get your original game back.
Well, whatever the case, it's sad for one of the best game series ever, especially on mobile. So
yeah.
But Plants vs. Zombies 3, it's a thing that's happening. Like it or not, and it's in pre-alpha, so I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot more about it soon.
What's interesting about the of what you can see of the screenshots is that because it's portrait mode, it looks like they just like really shrunk like how wide the battlefield is, or maybe it's the same size, but they just kind of like made it.
I think
square.
It scrolls, yeah.
Well, but I mean, like the first screenshot looks like you can see the sidewalk where the zombies come in. Although I guess
maybe they
get wider over time. Who knows? But
yeah,
but. Huh. I don't know. Cool game. Just, you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is. And then final story I had to talk about was something that just happened before we started recording is the Always Sunny in Philadelphia game came out called Always Sunny, The Gang Goes Mobile. We had previewed this at, I think, last year you posted about it.
I'm downloading this right now.
Yeah, when they announced it or whatever. And then I actually got a peek at it during GDC when I was meeting with the Eastside Games guys, but this is by the same people that did Trailer Park Boys Greasy Money, which we are big fans of here, and more or less can be described as an idol management game with just tremendous fan service, and the exact same thing is true with the Always Sunny game. So if you're like a fan of the show, download this. It's super fun.
Play like Tiny Tower, or does the screenshot just sort of make it look kind of like Tiny Tower?
It makes it look like that. It plays like it does play very similar to Greasy Money, except instead of like building your trailer park, you're starting new schemes. So what looks like each floor in a building is actually a new scheme you're running. So like one of them is Patty's Bar. You're just running the bar. You have patrons, and then you can increase your number of patrons, earn more money. Then unlock a new scheme, which the next one is Kittens Mittens. So then you run a Kittens Mittens business and same sort of thing. You're just upgrading progress bars, earning more. It's very, very, very much an idle game. But what's cool about it is it's broken up into episodes. And each episode starts out just like the show starts out. You know, it gives you the date, the day, and then a quick little intro of what the storyline of that episode is about. And then the title. And it's all the music from Sunny, from Always Sunny and stuff like that. So it's like very much fun to play just from that aspect. And then the storyline stuff is actually very funny. There's no voice acting or anything like that, but the dialogue seems very on point for all the different characters and stuff. And so you read it in your head in everyone's voice. And just I've been laughing at all the silly stuff that's been happening. So a lot of like in jokes and stuff for fans of the show. And
yeah, this is really cool. The Trailer Park Boys game, like, I cannot say enough good things about, like, and the really cool part about the Trailer Park Boys, and I'm sure it's probably the case with this too, is that, like, even if you didn't really know the Trailer Park Boys, like, it's still, like, a really, really good, just, like, progress game clicker kind of thing.
Right.
So I'm sure that's going to be the case with this too.
Yeah.
And what's neat too is that, like, it seems like the guys that like the people at East Side Games like really know these different IPs,
Oh, for sure.
because it
Yeah.
seems like so often when you have like an IP game on mobile, it's just like the Frozen Match 3 is a good example. It's like, I don't know, Disney gave us the rights to Frozen. What do we do with it? I don't know. Let's make a
Right.
matching game kind of thing.
Right.
Whereas like these guys seem like they're obviously fans of all these shows and are just like
Yeah.
writing fan fiction
Right.
that is also a game.
Yeah.
So
No,
that's
that's very
really.
true. And yeah, even in just I played through the first few sets of levels or whatever. There's just so much great fan service. So I feel like that's just gonna keep going, but
Okay, so the premise of the game is that Frank has a bunch of garbage bags full of money and he has to
yeah.
launder the money.
Yeah, so you're coming up with different business ventures to basically launder that money, which ends up in a dumpster fire at the end of each episode anyway. So it's like, it's like very Always Sunny. So yeah, seems pretty awesome. I'm enjoying it so far. If you like the show, I think I can pretty much guarantee you'll like playing the game.
Yeah. I mean
So Always
that
Sunny,
was
the game goes mobile,
I would
free
also
on
check
iOS and
out
Android.
the Trailer Park Boys game too. That's another really fun one,
Yeah.
so.
Download that while you're at it. It's super fun.
Yeah. All right, well, I think that's all we got
I
for the
think before my
week.
internet craps the bed again, maybe we should wrap this one up.
All right.
So thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode. We are primarily supported through our readers and listeners. So if you like what we do and want to see the podcast keep going, as well as the toucharcade.com website, please visit patreon.com/toucharcade. Consider supporting us with as little as $1 a month, which will give you cool benefits like a video version of this podcast and some other nifty stuff, and maybe some more nifty stuff in the future if I could just think of some cool things. But the most important thing is you'll get exclusive pictures of my baby on our video version.
I mean that's an amazing perk, so.
Yeah, and if you are not against the Amazon strike, I guess you can do your Amazon shopping through toucharcade.com/Amazon. It's an affiliate link, so we'll get a little bit of money from that. But if you're opposed to doing that, hey, I'm not going to get mad at that. Otherwise, just visit toucharcade.com for all the latest mobile gaming news, and we will see you again on another episode next week.
Hell yeah. See ya.